Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another weekly newscast presented to you by PWPonderings.com. My name is Chris GST. I am the web admin of the website. I'm not joined by Des Delgadillo this week. This week, I'm joined by an all-around person, Jerome Cusson. How are you doing, sir?
I mean, I'm doing pretty well. Before you get to the shills, though, you know, the big story of the week, and, you know, it's something that we in the United States, if you're an American, you've had to deal with this government shutdown, but we here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, we're proud to say that the federal government does not fund us, so we're going to continue to do these weekly newscasts, and we're going to continue to do these podcasts. And Chris, you know, I didn't put this on the format, so to speak, but I wanted to say, you know, I think it's really great that pro wrestling sort of has more accountability than even our federal government. And I just want you to think about this. Just imagine, if you will, if a major wrestling company in the United States, if they had some financial problems, like say they didn't have some shows go very well for them, and then the person in charge, sort of similar to the federal government, just decided to up and shut it down and to not really provide an explanation or have a really good explanation. And, you know, they just sort of abandoned it. But, you know, they tried to keep it alive even after it got shut down with these mixed messages. And, you know, there's a puppet out in front trying to get everyone to support what the person is doing and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe they even have a silly catchphrase that they're using. I am so thankful that we don't have that in pro wrestling, and that's only restricted to the federal government.
So I have two responses to that. I am America, and you're not on Team Dixie, Jerome? Come on. Team Dixie.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, no. As far as I'm concerned, pro wrestling is integrity personified, especially in relation to everything going on in recent weeks.
Absolutely. There's nothing that you could possibly be referring to. Well, if this is the first time you're listening to this, no, this is not a political podcast. We talk about pro wrestling, in particular independent pro wrestling. What we try to do is cover the major news in indie wrestling. And I gotta say, Jerome, not that big of a week. Not really, in terms of everything that happened. But coming up this weekend, a lot of big things. So I'm kind of excited for that. The first thing, though, I wanted to talk about, let everyone know, our friend Leah Von Dutch, she sent us a kind of a letter about, you know, obviously it is October with breast cancer awareness. She's doing something very special, so we have a message from her on the website. You go to pwponderings.com, check that out. You know, obviously we're trying to be socially aware, Jerome, on the website. And it being October, I think that everyone should participate. So going in to this, Jerome, our new sponsor, MexPro, and you know, we want to thank them for coming on board, but they have a new heavyweight champion in Messiah. He defeated Famous B this past week. Good show. I want everyone to check out the report on the site. I know, Jerome, you're probably not very, you know, aware of MexPro in terms of it. One, it's on the West Coast. Two, you know, I'm going to be honest, it's not really your type of wrestling. You know what I mean?
What does that mean, Chris? What does that mean?
What does that mean? No, what does it mean? They seem to have this hardcore lucha style. And, you know, I was reading the report from our very own Des Delgadillo, and we want to thank him and his friend Rudy Chinchilla for all the pictures, and we're going to have some exclusive videos on our YouTube channel. So you should all go and subscribe to that. But they have a new...
Wait a minute, we have a YouTube channel? Holy crap!
I know. I'm shocked, too. I just recently figured out how to use it, and if I could only figure out Vine, I think we'd be set.
But, if we figure out Tout, though, then we're really good to go.
Oh, we're in the money there. We are in the money. We could probably buy that. At this point, we could probably buy Tout.
Yes, and get 3 cents back in change.
Exactly.
And then get some coffee.
Well, I don't know about you, but it is October, so I'm looking forward to some pumpkin spice latte, but... That's not.
This is not a coffee podcast. This is not a political podcast. This is not a life podcast. It's a podcast about pro wrestling.
Are you sure? Because, man, I am really encouraging everyone. Go to your Starbucks. Support the little... Oh, wait. Never mind.
Whoa!
So, anyway, Jerome, one of the promotions that you're very tight with, you went to their show this past Friday, and you were live tweeting the results. They have a tag team tournament coming up, Jerome, one of three. Tell us about
it. This is an innovative idea, right? Nobody else is doing a tag team tournament this fall, so I really feel like AEW's got the market cornered on this.
I will say, though, I'll give them some points for creative tag teams. Some, I guess, opponents that you wouldn't actually see team anywhere else.
For sure. I think that they've done a lot of things that that really make sense. Eddie Kingston and Alex Colon, they have a bit of an alliance in AEW, so it makes a ton of sense that they're involved. Breck Akia, CJ Esparza, Zero Gravity. Obviously, they are a regular tag team in AEW, so they rightfully should be in this tournament as well. Ethan Page and Josh Alexander, they actually are in the quarterfinals of the tournament already as they defeated Team Ambition of Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly in what was undoubtedly the best match of the of Defining Moment 2013. When it comes to Smart Mark Video, definitely check it for this match alone. And, you know, you look at what Ethan Page and Josh Alexander have been able to do in an AEW ring. You know, obviously, they haven't had much of a chance to team up. I think they really match each other's styles very well. You know, they're not going to be a team in AIW or in, you know, in some other places. But in AEW and possibly Ring of Honor, you're going to be seeing a lot of Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. And I think that's really great for both of them. And so they defeated Team Ambition. They have to be considered the favorites to win this tournament, I would say. And, you know, I'm really hoping for the best for both of them. Two other teams, Matt Cage possibly teaming up with ACH, the Heritage Champion. They've got a bit of a rivalry going, and we'll have to see how this plays out. And Silas Young really doesn't have any friends in the AEW locker room. That's sort of the story that they're telling because, you know, he's been a heel for so long. But now he's on the babyface side. Based on the events of last Friday with Eddie Kingston defeating Jimmy Jacobs, Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs will be a team. And if I were a betting man, I would bet that Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs will wrestle Eddie Kingston and Alex Colon at some point in this tournament. Despite the, you know, I think that because of the rivalry, I think it just makes sense.
Going for the big money there, I can tell. So do you think we're going to see Kung Fu Manchu? I can't say I'm big on the team, but they're kind of growing on me. Do you think we're going to see them in tournament? I think that's obvious, right?
I believe that they have already been announced. So the concept behind this this tournament is that the winners get to select whatever match they want. So it's very similar to when Ring of Honor did the Trios tournament. So that's why the AAW Tag Team Champions can participate in this tournament. Because then, hypothetically, if they win, then they can go challenge for the singles belts or Silas Young and Jimmy Jacobs. Jimmy Jacobs wants a shot at the AEW heavyweight title. Silas Young wants a match with Eddie Kingston. So there's a lot of different ways that this tournament can go, and I like the stipulation of them sort of saying, guys, if they win this tournament, they can sort of choose what match they want.
And I kind of like Matt Cage basically calling out his partner. He just said in that video, ACH, when we win this, I'm challenging you, and I'm scouting you while we're teaming up. I mean, that's just smart. And Matt Cage, I mean, he's a guy. He's all over the place now, Jerome.
I've been told he's money, too. Not a vampire, just money.
Oh, just money? Oh.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It's not intense enough to be a vampire, so that's why.
There you go. Well, as you were talking about the Monster Mafia, one place they are popping up again in Ring of Honor. This weekend we're coming up, we're going to have live results thanks to our very own Kevin Ford. They're facing Outlaw Inc. And I got to say, Jerome, this card, it's not one of those cards I'm going to run, you know, out of my way to get on the website. But there's some matches on here that I think are kind of good. You know, they have a Four Corner Survival match. There is Thomas, Caprice Coleman, Antonio Thomas, and Roderick Strong. You're going to see Mike Bennett versus Jimmy Jacobs in Jimmy Jacobs Trial Series match number 3. Jerome, he's getting a series of matches.
I am very happy about this. You know, Jimmy Jacobs is a guy who I think has just been completely undervalued by Ring of Honor. So if this is a way to introduce him back as a single star, there is literally no reason that he shouldn't be at that upper mid-card level, because he's a guy who can talk, he can wrestle multiple styles. So I am in favor of this, and I think, you know, BJ Whitmer, what happened to him was extremely unfortunate, but I like what Ring of Honor did in that Whitmer sort of gave Jacobs his spot, and, you know, Jacobs is now able to sort of take the ball and run with it. So this actually, I'm legitimately interested in what they're doing with Jimmy Jacobs. I cannot say the same thing about having Mark Briscoe wrestle three times in one evening and be Adam Cole's first title defense back in Glens Hopkins. That was a little weird. And Jay Briscoe being suspended by Joe Koff or not being allowed. If you want to talk about just lame, that is the very definition of lame, is this Jay Briscoe Ring of Honor situation.
What are you talking about, Jerome? He's fighting the man. Can't you get into that? That's a storyline we've never seen before.
You know what?
Ever.
I will get on my knees and I will beg for this. There was a time the professional wrestling for about 50 years, maybe 60 years, was able to get away with just having two guys, four guys, depending on the situation. They were fighting for a title. They were fighting because somebody slept with another person's woman, or they didn't like the way they looked at them. That's sort of what makes feuds work in pro wrestling. These meta feuds where you have wrestlers sort of feuding with administrators and feuding with the man, quote unquote, and feuding with the corporation. There's it's really a no-win situation, because everybody knows that Ring of Honor is owned by Sinclair Broadcasting. And if Sinclair Broadcasting all of a sudden got tired of Ring of Honor, Ring of Honor would die. So I don't understand these feuds, because there's no way to pay it off in a grand fashion, in a way that can satisfy sort of what wrestling fans want. I don't think wrestling fans want to be reminded of the fact that Ring of Honor is owned by a $700 million corporation, because that is not the Ring of Honor that they love and want to embrace.
No, and they definitely don't want to see Joe Koff in like a shark tank above the ring, so he can't... Oh, never mind. Anyway...
I don't know where we're going with this show, man. We are off the rails.
We really are. But with something that's not off the rails, World Tag Team Champions Red Dragon, they're facing Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin. This is a match I think that has some ramifications, because, okay, Ring of Honor, obviously, spoiler, world title tournament, Adam Cole won. Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin, at this point, they kind of had a weird little mini feud, but they were teaming up on some house shows, but they, you know, it was kind of to one-up each other, even though I don't even know where that came from, because it's not like Jay Lethal has been important to the world title picture in forever. But they're going up against the tag champions, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. I really think they're cementing themselves as one of the best teams on the indie scene right now. And then you have Elgin, who, I mean, imagine this, Jerome. If Bobby Fish or Kyle O'Reilly basically pin Elgin, and he is kind of, I mean, he's the de facto number one contender. You know, he lost to Adam Cole, but, you know, he fought really hard, and then, you know, he got turned on. What if he just gets pinned in this match for no reason? And it is for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team title, so I can't imagine they're moving the belt again. But I just don't know what they're doing with this, Jerome. I don't know.
I mean, the only person who turns on Michael Elgin is Mischief, right?
Whoa. Right? There you go. Anyway.
Man, I got the zingers tonight.
You're on fire tonight. You are on fire, sir. Actually, I did kind of want to talk to you about that. You do the Ring of Honor TV, you know, updates for PW Update. And I know you've been watching the Ring of Honor television for a little bit. Where are they going with this, Jerome? I know, okay, obviously the World Title Tournament is still going on there, but what's the story they're telling on the TV show? Because honestly, I don't get it.
I mean, I think the problem with the way that they formatted the TV show is that it is so wrestling heavy that there is really not the opportunity to tell stories anymore. They're really not doing those inside Ring of Honor segments. They're literally just having these title tournaments tournaments on television. And I think it makes logical sense to sort of showcase these tournament matches, but...
Sure, the wrestling's really good. Don't get me wrong there, but I agree with you.
And I agree with you, but if you've been watching the television, it's like Matt Taven, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly don't exist. So I think that's sort of been the problem, I think, with Ring of Honor television for the last little bit, because I think the wrestling has been really good. I think getting a chance to see Michael Elgin versus Paul London versus Carl Anderson's been... I mean, those two matches were tremendous. I mean, Adam Cole obviously has had some very, very good matches. And, you know, I think the wrestling is right there. But the problem is there's really not a grander story being told of sort of what else is going on in the world of Ring of Honor as this title tournament is going on.
To be fair, what is going on? I mean, I'm thinking that off the top of my head, you have Adam Cole's champion... Spoiler alert, sorry everybody. All Out Inc. is...
You really screwed that up.
I did, right? All Out Inc. is... They're fighting the corporation, but they're kind of tongue-in-cheek telling Nigel, you know, we're being good corporate guys and we're wearing suits and ties and masks. I don't know who the heck they're fighting against. Are they fighting Nigel, even though Nigel hasn't even really acknowledged them? I don't know. And then Matt Taven, he's... I think Caesar Sparks has more feuds going on than he does.
Dude, wow.
She beat up Jimmy Jacobs. Come on. Seriously. Who is Matt Taven feuding with right now? He has a TV title match against Cedric Alexander this weekend. That's going to be a fantastic match. Why? Hasn't Cedric Alexander been losing?
Why is Cedric Alexander? Did he win a tournament in Rio de Janeiro to get a title match? Because that's what I can assume based on the fact that Cedric Alexander has won... zero singles matches in Ring of Honor, correct?
Yep.
Did he pin Matt Taven at Death Before Dishonor? Is that why he's getting this title match?
I cannot even remember the last time he won on television. Which then, why would you get a TV title match?
I don't know. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is sort of what Ring of Honor is doing. You know, they sort of have one or two stories and then... It feels like a lot of other people on the roster sort of stuck in limbo. You look at a guy like Eddie Edwards. He's wrestling Adam Page. What is going on with Eddie Edwards now that, you know, Davey Richards may or may not be around? What is Eddie Edwards going to be doing? Kevin Steen apparently is going to be feuding with Mike Bennett over who has the better pile driver.
That is the best storyline ever, right?
I mean, no. And ACH, you know, ACH has just been losing so much.
To me is ridiculous. He should be killing Ring of Honor students, showing off his fantastic repertoire. And he's not a jobber, but he's not much better.
He might as well be at this point. And I think the problem for Ring of Honor, you know, is that they really only have that 1 hour of television time to tell these stories. And it's sort of a weird situation that they're in. Because, to be honest with you, the roster is way too small to put on 3 or 4 hour house shows just the way things match up. So they really can't freshen things up as much as they want to. But the roster, on the other hand, is too large to do a 1 hour, or in this case, probably closer to a 45 or 46 minute television show to showcase all of the wrestlers and to sort of have these competitive matches, not do squashes. So it's a very unusual situation, and Ring of Honor, they've never been able to figure this out. They've been doing television for 3 years between HDNet and Sinclair, and they've never really been able to figure it out. And that's exactly what happens when you look at the roster now. So many guys are sort of in flux and are sort of left with nothing to do. So that's why Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin are challenging for the Ring of Honor tag team titles, even though I don't think they've teamed up since Border Wars this year.
And look at what you were talking about in the beginning. For anyone that wants to know, you can check out our website, pwpundits.com. Click on the Indie News section. Find out all the major results from this past weekend. Mark Briscoe wrestled 3 times on a show.
And that should never happen.
Not only did he wrestle 3 times, he beat Silas Young for... God knows why. I mean, was that really necessary? Because he then won the Battle Royal, became the first Ring of Honor challenger for Adam Cole, and he lost. So...
To me, what
does that do?
What you do is you either have ACH or to Darius Thomas or Cedric Alexander or Caprice Coleman. You have one of those four win that Honor Rumble. So that way, at least you can say they won an Honor Rumble. That's why they're getting a title shot. They can have a really good match with Adam Cole, and they can lose. And it's perfectly acceptable that they could logically survive an Honor Rumble because they use their athleticism to stay alive, and then they lose to Adam Cole because they're just not as good as the ROH World Champion. If they did that, I bet that card is a million times better, and you've actually done something for guys that desperately need it. And those four guys are really, again, they're in limbo, but they're in a worse kind of limbo because they've been losing so much. If Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander ask for one more title shot, I am going to go nuts.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. And and look at Silas Young. Did he really need to lose to Mark Briscoe? Was that necessary?
What are they doing with Silas Young? If Silas Young is under contract, it would be nice to see him beat someone besides Adam Page.
I mean, you have to make stars. And if you're possibly losing two of them in Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, come on, someone's got to fill that void. And I realized that everyone's like, oh, but the Briscoes are back. Okay. I mean, I love the Briscoes as much as everyone else, but they've been there for the last 10, 11 years. So,
and I'm not sure. I don't think Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe as singles wrestlers, that is not a long-term solution. I think Jay Briscoe winning the ROH world title, having a couple months with it, was fine. But Mark Briscoe is not a good singles wrestler. I think the best singles match I've seen Mark Briscoe have was with Adam Cole on television. And that's because of the story they told. It was really focused on sort of Mark Briscoe's issues with his head. But otherwise, I mean, I really can't think of a Mark Briscoe match that I said, God, I got to see this. And, you know, I think it's a rough situation to be in because they have so many guys in limbo.
No, I agree with you. And it's, you know, it's kind of the same old story for Ring of Honor. They're too big to be small, but they're kind of too small to be big. So, there you go.
It's worth pointing out that Kevin Ford is going to be in Baltimore, Maryland on October the 5th. Twitter.com/PWPonderings. We will be tweeting live results. Thank you, Kevin Ford, for going to the Charm City to watch this event.
And I just got to say, I just now realized this reading the notes. The show this past weekend is apparently called A New Dawn.
Is this FIP in 2005?
Yes, it is.
You like that reference? I went way back.
Yes, you did. Man, that's pretty far. Anyway, another promotion that is doing pretty well this year that I think, and they have a world title tournament also going on, is our friends over at Vanguard Wrestling All-Star Alliance, VWAA for short. Last stop is this Sunday, October 6th. They have signed Matt Cage versus Isaias Velasquez and Thomas Sinclair versus Matthias Kalevra. I got to tell you, fans, if you've never seen Matthias live, you really should go and check this out. He is a big dude. I'm not saying he's the best wrestler, but he's impressive for how big he is. And Thomas Sinclair, when he's kind of that, he's not Eddie Edwards because he kind of is.
Is he Eddie Edwards Edwards?
Almost. He's kind of that scrappy fighter that, you know, he has the heart in him, but sometimes, you know, size kind of gives way, and he's fighting a huge dude. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Check them out. All the information is on our website for that as well. And Jerome, we also had another title defense this weekend, Shine, which you've been reviewing, apparently.
Apparently, I have been reviewing Shine. I've got the first four in the can, first five in the can. As soon as WWN takes care of their issues, I'm going to start working on number six.
So this past weekend at Shine 13, note the number, Rain defended her Shine title against Angelina Love. She defeated her. She retained it. So congrats to Rain. Hopefully at some point this comes out on DVD. We're getting there, right,
Chris? Right? I wouldn't hold your breath on that one.
We're getting there.
They just released the anniversary show that I was at last year.
There you go. See? Getting closer. Maybe. So another promotion this weekend, Girls Night Out 9 and 10. This is from our friends over at Absolute Intense Wrestling, Sunday, October 6th at 3 p.m. in Cleveland, Ohio. I will say, Jerome, in terms of women's wrestling, I don't watch it a whole lot. You know this. This is pretty exciting stuff. I know you and Dez talked about it last week. Any other thoughts on Girls' Night Out?
I mean, it's fight season, so every major company in the United States as far as women's wrestling, they're going to be putting forth shows this month. You're going to want to check them all out. Vita Scott will be wrestling Allison Kay, the main event of Girls' Night Out 10. A whole host of international superstars will be wrestling at Girls' Night Out at 9 and 10. It will be at Turner's Hall in Cleveland, Ohio. Definitely go out and support AIW. Also, if you want to get yourself hyped up for that event, go listen to the interview show, not done by me, but done by Dez Delgadillo, as he talked to the young lady who will be challenging for the AIW women's title in Vita Scott. Also, as part of the PWP Podcasting Network, Kevin Harvey, he has interviewed Kelly Skater a couple weeks ago as part of his Schools In podcast. And this week he had cheerleader Melissa, who is the current and defending Shimmer Women's Champion. So this week alone, you've got the Shimmer Champion. You've got the person who could potentially be the AIW Women's Champion by the end of Sunday. And this weekend, I will be conducting an interview with Drew Cordero. We will be talking all about WSU, as WSU will be presenting a show on October the 12th. We're obviously going to have more on that, both on the interview show and on the weekly newscast next week. But it is a big month for weekends for women's wrestling. And you can check out those podcasts, plus my review of some of the various women's events. Shimmer 53 and Shine will be coming up all this month, as well as a couple of WSU reviews. So check all of that out. Subscribe on iTunes and pwponderings.com, the place to find the articles. So that's my shill for fight season.
That's a lot. There's a lot of women's wrestling going on. I'm pretty excited for it. I'm excited to hear your podcast with Drew. It just dawned on me. I was there to see cheerleader Melissa win the title. I mean, that was pretty cool. It wasn't done on purpose, but I was there, and I think that's pretty neat. She is from my side of the country, so probably should listen to that podcast.
He's on the wrong side.
Hey, at least we get results really early, and I can go and enjoy some dinner afterwards. Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. So, anyway, enjoy that. Of course, last bit of news, though, that I want to talk about. Big weekend. Our friends over at CWF Mid-Atlantic, they hold their 13th annual CWF Rumble. It is free on iPay-per-view via highspots.tv, 102 Jams, and PW Ponderings. We're bringing it to you free. You have absolutely no reason not to watch it. We have our mini site up on the site. You can click on the banner on the right-hand side. They've already announced all of their, I believe, the people that are going to be in the Rumble, as well as a couple title matches. I'm excited for this, Jerome. I realize that it's not every day where we can say, hey, a company's lasted 13 years on the indie scene. So it's some big news. And, of course, PW Ponderings, we're very glad to be participating in this and being able to provide this to you guys for free. And it is high spots, Jerome, so probably not going to have any high pay-per-view issues, right?
Believe me, I will be keeping a close eye on any of the issues. Hopefully High Spots TV puts up a clean stream and there are no problems, because my philosophy on this is we will be paying attention. And, you know, I think it's great for us to be sponsoring these live iPay-per-views. I think it's a great opportunity. But we also understand the issues that come with the technology. And after every event and after issues come up, or if there's a clean stream, we will certainly be evaluating what sorts of iPay-per-views we promote in the future. So definitely check this out. Let us know if you have any problems, and we will definitely take that into account moving forward.
Absolutely. And as we said, we want to thank everyone over at High Spots, 102 Jams, and of course CWF Mid-Atlantic for letting us
help with
this. I
didn't know Brad Attitude was still wrestling, so that's why I'm excited for this event.
Oh, you noticed that too, huh? Yeah, that's...
It's like Where's Waldo. It's like, oh, there's Brad Attitude.
There you go. Hey, you know what? I'm kind of excited for it. Of course, our friends over there, they have Eric Royal. He's getting... I mean, after National Pro Wrestling Day, he's been booked in a few more places, and I think that it's kind of... It's just one of those promotions where you should be watching, because this is where the future pro wrestlers are coming from. I mean, already Andrew Everett. Where is that guy not wrestling besides Ring of Honor? Seriously. Who has not booked him?
It's a ton of them, and it's really great to see guys getting opportunities in pro wrestling. And I think it's really important, you know, these iPay-per-views and the National Pro Wrestling Days, this is where guys get to showcase themselves. So, and, you know, I think CWF has really benefited from National Pro Wrestling Day, despite the fact that they've been around for a number of years and have obviously had a lot of local success. You know, I think National Pro Wrestling Day and the showcase match that they had on that event, I think it really did a lot for their national reputation. So it's going to be a fun night this Saturday.
It really is. So big weekend coming up. Of course, we have our own calendar of events. Check that out on the website, pwpundings.com. Jerome, there is one topic, though, that I wanted to bring up, and I think you wanted to talk about it, too. What the hell is going on with Chikara?
I mean, seriously. It feels like, you know, last week I joked with Dez that we really should just record a generic iPay-per-view problem segment and just edit in some names and dates and, you know, just call it a night. Just say we're good to go and, you know, we could just put this conversation up and, you know, because I feel like it's something that we've been talking about on a consistent basis. And I think we should be talking about it. I think that it is our obligation to talk about any issues that come up with independent wrestling, whether we're friends with people in the company or not. You know, I think that we have every right to be critical of these organizations if they're not putting forth a product that we don't like. And I think that, you know, when I look at what Chikara Pro was, emphasis on that word was, you know, I think they were a great company that facilitated a fantastic community of fans. I think the problem that I've had ever since June 2nd of 2013, and perhaps to an extent a lot earlier, is that there is a deception among for the fan base. So I guess for me, I look at shows like Firefly, Futurama, and Arrested Development, and these are three shows that basically developed cult audiences that had a very almost a family relationship with the television show. Even though Firefly is a fictional series, you know, those fans are extremely loyal. And, you know, I think the same goes for fans of Arrested Development and Futurama. And these were all shows that were canceled before their time. However, thanks to the new media, thanks to DVD sales or Netflix streaming, you know, all three of these shows were able to come back in some form. With Firefly, it was Serenity. With Futurama, it was going to Comedy Central. With Arrested Development, it was getting a fourth season on Netflix. So when you look at that, it came organically. All three of these shows were brought back because there was a high demand. In some form or fashion, the fans demanded that they wanted to see these shows. And these are not shows that would be considered successes on network television. You know, they're not drawing 10, 15 million viewers. They're drawing that 1 to 2 million, 3 million. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the ratings were, but they weren't doing well enough to maintain their standing on network television. But in the forms of new media, they were able to continue their stories. The problem with Chikara is their death was self-induced by the person who was in charge. And when I think about that, I think about what they're trying to do is they are trying to create something similar to what Arrested Development and Futurama and Firefly. I see it being forced upon us. To me, it comes off as being very inorganic, and it comes off very fake to me. You know, I think it's if Icarus. So I look at Icarus's situation in particular. To me, why is he a good guy, despite the fact that he is obsessing over trying to bring Chikara back? In what realm is this a reality? Look at the guys who are having a ton of success outside of Chikara, and Drew Gulak is the first name that comes to mind. Drew Gulak separating himself a bit from the Chikara universe. He is now the CZW World Champion. He just won the style battle. To me, the Chikara people who separate themselves from this brand and to an extent separate themselves from the wrestling is companies, those are the people who are going to be successful. I think Chikara is a wonderful organization for its fans, and it's a great organization for Chikara. But when you look at what Chikara isn't able to do, it isn't able to put forth the level of stars like a Ring of Honor or Dragon Gate USA or an AIW or even an AEW. I firmly believe that whether by accident or whether it's on purpose, those companies are not only doing well for themselves, but they are doing well by the wrestlers, because guys like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk and Antonio Cesaro, and I know Cesaro was in Chikara as well, but Cesaro, I firmly believe, was able to get the opportunities that he got in the WWE because of his Ring of Honor and PWG work. And I think that there's so many other independent guys like Sami Callihan and Samurai Del Sol. Those guys were able to get opportunities because of these other independent wrestling companies. Chikara has always been about itself. Just look at the fact that guys like Hal Wicked and Frightmare have never, ever escaped from Chikara. Frightmare was the Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year in 2009. In all of pro wrestling, that includes WWE, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, any of the other major wrestling companies around the world, Frightmare was the Rookie of the Year in 2009. And what has Frightmare done since that time? He has never materialized as a major star. And obviously, his injuries play a role in that. But I feel like Frightmare should be a much bigger star than he was. And I feel because of his gimmick and because of where he worked, he was restricted by that. So I love Chikara. If Chikara came back tomorrow and there was a King of Trios, I would strongly consider supporting it. But I, as a wrestling fan, and as a fan of so many of the companies that we've just discussed, whatever problems I have with Ring of Honor or AEW or AIW, those are the companies that deserve your support and your attention, because they are running on a weekly basis. They are the ones that are not deceiving their fans by teasing opening, and then, you know, they're going to open up all these wrestling as companies. Support the companies that are still around. Stop living in the past. Let's all move on. Time always marches on.
So you weren't one of the people that did the I am Chikara hashtag during Raw, huh? That wasn't you?
I mean, I am the companies that run on a weekly basis and respect their fans.
I was listening to the podcast that Brian Alvarez did with Gabe Sapolsky, and he was talking about some of the issues they're having over at WMN Live. And to give him credit, he mentioned how in November, I believe the 16th and 17th, they're running shows. So they have no shows during October. They're trying to obviously play catch-up with their DVDs. They're trying to get some home-based venues down so they can make sure they can have internet ready and do iPay-per-views. And you know what? For as much of the criticism that we at PWP have thrown their way, you know, either because we didn't feel their product was up to snuff or for whatever reason, I will give them all the credit in the world for working on some of the issues, albeit not in the time frame I'd like them to, but at least he acknowledges it. He's not stringing us along, you know, and telling us some, oh, hashtag tweet this. I'm going to make you think about a product that's from the past. And I'm kind of trying to get you to think about it again because we might come back. And you know what? That to me, I'm getting kind of tired of it. I mean, I get it. Icarus, you're trying to get everyone together. Awesome. But every, 8 weeks, you do an I Am Chikara hashtag. You make everyone talk about their memories. What is that really doing? I mean, I could even go devil's advocate. If you were out there promoting Wrestling Is Promotions and just not insulting all our intelligence and letting us know, hey, you know what, this is kind of what happened, help support these other promotions, hey, great, you're doing something productive. But stringing us along every single time and saying, hey, Chikara, look, I said the word. It's like, dude, come on. I'm over it. And, you know, like Jerome said, there are other promotions out there that deserve your money or deserve at least some support in some way. Check them out. Hey, even check out some of the Wrestling Is promotions. You know, we put out the results every weekend when we can, and sometimes the shows sound pretty good. Go check them out. Go subscribe to, I believe, shop.wrestlingis.com. Go support that. It's a subscription service, $79.99 a month. That's nothing. Go check that out. I don't know, Jerome. It's just, it kind of enrages me. And, you know, it's just because it just seems so blatant. You're blatantly telling me as a fan, you know, and I'm not as big a fan of as Chikara as you and Kevin were, but you're pretty much just stringing my emotions along. And it's like, dude, you're not accomplishing anything at this point. So, And then, as you said, the wrestlers, what are they doing to help the wrestlers' careers? I mean, I believe Frymer is doing some work in Mexico now, so, I mean, good on him for that. But you're right, Hallowicked, where is that guy? You know, and I don't know, maybe he has, you know, an 8 and 9 to 5, you know, that keeps him from only wrestling a particular time. I don't know. But I think you're right, a lot of these talents should be bigger names by now. You know, we should be seeing maybe some of the Colony members in other places. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like you see guys like Eddie Kingston, Chuck Taylor, they're moving on. Johnny Gargano, obviously. And granted, he was already Dragon Gate champion, so it's not like that's a big deal. But still, moving on. And I think some of these other wrestlers have to look at their careers and go, where do we want to be in a couple of years?
So. I mean, a lot of people took a dump on Shiva Kid when he took the mask off and became Andrew Everett. But there was no way that he was going to get the opportunities that he was getting unless he took the mask off. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I'm saying that because he unmasked and became Andrew Everett, he is now wrestling in CZW as a regular. He's been in a number of WWN shows, and he was booked in a ladder match for AIW. Does he get those opportunities as Kiva Kid? I seriously, seriously doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't see it. It would just be a disconnect. It was like when Jigsaw and Hallowicked and some of the Colony members win Ring of Honor. Yes, they were fantastic wrestlers, but you saw them in the ring and you're like, something doesn't feel right about that. And of course, yeah, it was kind of a debacle unmasking Jigsaw. I'll give you that. That was bad. That was a rough time. So, anyway, I don't know. I don't know, Jerome.
And you look at Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston is in Ring of Honor in AEW now, and he's cutting some of the best promos of his career in AEW. And I think that's what I want to see. I am, despite my feelings against Chikara, the company, I want these wrestlers to do well because I think there's a ton of very, very talented guys that I want to see get booked in other places. I want to see what Tim Donst could do in AAW or Ring of Honor or the WWN companies or even CZW. I want to see these guys in other places because I like and appreciate the work that they're doing. And I feel that they have been underappreciated within the Chikara universe for whatever reason over the last couple of years. And I think that the guys who are breaking out now into other realms are experiencing a lot of success because they're very good at what they do.
And I think, to be clear, we're not saying that they should just come out in the public and unmask. Just kind of, you know, do it quietly, whatever. Just get yourselves booked in other promotions. Maybe without the masks. It's not like any of us are going to really know.
There's a way to do it. There's just don't wear the mask and go into another company under your real name or another wrestler name, or you're playing another gimmick.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Not everyone has to go the route of Andrew Everett and be out in the public about it. Just get out there and wrestle and let us see, you know, what you guys did so well in Chikara, do in other places, because we know you can. So.
And I mean, if Jigsaw and Gran Akuma, you know, can get an opportunity in ISW, if Jigsaw can wrestle as Jigsaw, then that's perfectly fine too. I want to see these guys in other places because I think Jigsaw's fantastic. I think that there's so many guys on this roster who have just been held back by the Chikara system that, to me, it should be free reign, and these guys should just be killing it all across the indies, and I feel like we're going to start seeing that more and more the more they prove themselves and the more that they can separate themselves away from the Chikara stigma. Not Shane Storm or the former unstable member, the actual word stigma.
There you go. So that's it. That's pretty much all the news this week. Of course, everyone, support indie wrestling this next weekend. Check out our calendar of events on the right-hand side of the website, pwponderings.com. Jerome, what do you have going on the internet, unless you have anything else to say?
I mean, we really got through a lot of the plugs earlier. I plugged a lot of the podcasts, stuff like that. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor. Is the place to find me, talk to me about wrestling and whatever else, and make sure to support all the other podcasts, interview show, Fan to Fan with Kevin Ford. Definitely a must listen, so give that all an opportunity and a shot.
Yeah, the one he did with Marion Fontaine and Ben Gordon these last 2 weeks, really, some of the best stuff, I think, that we have on our podcast feed. So go out and check this out.
And it sounds like old time wrestling was something that I'm legitimately interested in. And when we talk about, you know, Chikar dying, I'm not going to say that this is going to replace it, but this is pushing wrestling forward by going backwards in a way, you know, sort of bringing back that maybe a vaudevillian feel to pro wrestling, sort of maybe taking it back to its roots. And in a bizarre way, everything old becomes new again.
Damn hipsters and their mustaches.
Ouch.
There you go. So anyway, thank you all for listening. If you are checking us out on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. Help get that algorithm going. Let other listeners know about our podcast. As always, we're going to be live tweeting Ring of Honor results if we can. So that's twitter.com/PWPonderings. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ProWrestlingPonderings. And of course, the main site, PWPonderings.com. If you want to contact me, I have some stuff going on. The new Total Wrestling UK e-magazine is coming out, hopefully soon. And I have several articles in there. I went over that on the Podcast of Honor, so go listen to that podcast and figure that one out. But it should be a lot of fun. TotalWrestling.co.uk, I believe. But you can find them on Facebook at Total Wrestling Magazine, so check that out. And, of course, I am twitter.com/CGSTong, that's CGSTONG. And, of course, same username at pwpundigs.com is my email. For Jerome Cusan, thank you for listening. Have a great week, guys.